My text is in the chapter that we read, and that is in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. And really, the group of verses there, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But out of those verses, verse 12 particularly, the night is far spent. It's quite a striking passage to the end of that chapter. It has many verse advice and admonitions throughout it all, and it follows very well after chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so it gives us many instructions here. And also there is a word of, I think, of profound sympathy and of understanding here in the previous verse. Knowing the times, knowing that it is not easy, knowing then there were very difficult times, and it holds for us today. The Bible is that kind of book. It's not written for one age, but for every age, knowing the times that we live in as well, and the difficulties that each one of us has to face in its various spheres and occupations. Now then, we must never lose sight, however, when we think of these instructions, of the great doctrine. How can you describe the Epistle to the Romans as a great book of doctrine and of teaching, and very precious to us? And the main theme that runs through this, as in other epistles too, but particularly in Romans, is justification by faith and by faith alone. All the epistles are great, and we love like Peter and the Ephesians and so on, and the epistles of John, they are all, of course, the word of God. But this one rises up really like if you were thinking of a fleet of ships with battleships and destroyers, this would be a great aircraft carrier. It's got everything on it, and it gives a great broadside against unbelief and great instructions in righteousness. So it says, really, you will not get anything unless you have understood what it means to be justified by faith. And the big battle for all of us always has been, and very often is during our Christian life too, is to think that our salvation partly rests on our justification and how good we are and how knowledgeable we are. It's so very, very easy for pride to creep in some form or another. But in the eyes of God, in the Epistle of James, we are told, God will fight against you. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, a person who's understood justification by faith realizes that he cannot in any way say, I'm justified to go to heaven. Not in any way. Because we are sinful by nature. However nice we are, we know our hearts, and we know that we are sinful by nature. And there is no possibility that we could say, I have a right for heaven, were it not that a great miracle had taken place and an intervention of grace. And the teaching that comes from the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is justification by faith. That is, we are put right by what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's cleared our debts, and that is a great relief. And what debts we have. I don't suppose that any one of us like to open the copybook of our debts, what debts we have. But yet, the wonderful thing about the cross is this: paid in full. That's very, very wonderful. And we should never lose sight of that, that we are forgiven sinners. Our debt is paid. Neither should we lose sight of why should he bother to live a life on earth under God's law when he is author of the law. But he did so because we could never do it. So he obeys the law in our place. So the simplest way to put it is, he washes us and he dresses us. That is, he makes us clean and he puts clean clothes on us. And that justifies us. Faith in that great miracle. Faith in that. So when our faith is in Jesus Christ and in him alone, no pluses. No, I'm justified by faith in Jesus Christ, but I've done a good job of it. No pluses, because by adding a plus, you destroy the totality of it. It's exactly as if you're given a gift worth £1,000 and you give a pound and say, there's my little contribution towards it. You spoil it as a gift. It is no longer a gift. There are no pluses. It is by grace alone. That leaves no room for pride, but it does leave room for thanksgiving and for gratitude in knowing that we are a forgiven people, justified by faith. Now, because of that, and once our hopeless situation, and now that grace is appropriated to us, God then has great expectations from us. And this reason, because we are justified by faith, we call that imputed righteousness, that is, righteousness, purity counted for us. He expects it to affect our lives. Now then, all we do is cooperate, so we have a great responsibility. Our cooperation to the grace he gives in our lives. So, if we perform a good work, it's God working in us, but we cooperate. We can't take any credit, none at all. We cooperate. It's called our generous cooperation. But he has expectation. If I'm going to give you grace to live up to your position, your position is a child of God. If I'm going to give you grace to be in that position, I expect you to exercise my grace in your life, in your thinking, in your speaking, in your actions, in your total demeanor. And the glory is not yours, the glory is mine. So really, it leaves no room at all for pride. Nevertheless, he sympathizes with the situation that we are in. He says, and knowing the times, there are hard times even for us to cooperate. There are hard times. And it is high time to awake out of sleep. Don't be a dozy Christian. You know, don't be a sleepy Christian. Don't be a rocking chair doctrinal kind of doctor, but a person who is that the doctrines are alive. Put it like this. We love the doctrines of grace, but the doctrines of grace in our lives must be the grace of the doctrines. We have not understood the doctrines of grace unless they become the grace of the doctrines in our lives, that we live what we are, and it is all by the mercy and the grace of God. Now, knowing the times, why? Because the time is approaching. What is this time? Well, in the previous verse, it says your salvation is now nearer than it was before. By that, it means the fulfillment of your salvation. The fulfillment. The time when you will be in glory after the second coming, after that time, I mean now particularly, and when you will have the redemption of your body and your soul, that time is drawing near. And it's nearer now than it was before. It's nearer today than it was yesterday. And so we look to that and say the time is approaching. So knowing the time, don't waste the time. redeem the time, use the time, because each time brings you nearer to your conclusion, but also to the realization and the culmination of your full salvation, your soul and your new body. Now, what is this time he has primarily in view here? Well, I'll tell you. The time that he has primarily in view is the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the time. Now, the text I want to major on is verse 14. Verse 13, I'm sorry. Here it is. The night is far spent in the light of all that. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. The whole passage, really, but this is the one I want us to think about. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. We are in Christ and we know our direction, knowing the times and knowing also that the second coming approaches. Now, the first thing is this, the works of darkness, the works of darkness, what are they? Let's begin with the negative. Darkness has played havoc with this world. You know, it has played havoc. It is because of the fall and the work of Satan. And the things that are listed in this particular chapter and in others as well. But I'll make a list here and you can add to it. In verse 13, for example, we have some. Not in drinking bouts, not in orgies, not in immorality, not in being contentious, not jealousy, not in unworthy habits, all these various things and more, or in wrong attitudes. All those things that belong to darkness, a critical spirit, unkind words, a sharp tongue. I'm adding these myself now because they're in Scripture anyway. Now, those things, the works of darkness, how the world behaves, how they behave at work, how nasty they are to one another, and how one person will tread on another. They are the works of darkness. That's the times we are living in. They are perilous and they are difficult times. And he's saying, throw them away. Throw them away. Cast them away. Have nothing more to do with them. Let us throw off the works of darkness. The word here is, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Why? The day is far spent. The day is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, but are we willing? You see, these things cling to us, and it does call for a real effort on our side. Do you and do I, or do we, ever search our hearts and say, do I bring in much of my old life in? Have I cast them off altogether? If I was a difficult person before, am I still rather contrary now? If I was inclined to be indifferent and unhelpful before, have I brought that in now as well? Is there much of the old life clinging to me still? And so that God expects us. You have the grace. You have the grace. You have the ability to cast off, to throw away that way of life. You are new. If any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then it goes on. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Now then, the best way of casting off the works of darkness and the negative things is to put on the positive things. It's much better because, you know, the devil will find plenty for you to do for idle hands. So don't be kind of in a stationary, static position where really you still dwell on the old ways and dwell on the old desires, but rather cast them away and turn in the direction of grace. And we are able to. We are able to be different. We are able to be new. We are new in Christ. And that's the miracle that takes place. And what the apostle here is saying, well, just use it, be it, and get on with it. Just get on with it. If you had a bad temper before, well, ask God to change you and give you a tongue of grace. If you were critical in your attitude before, make you a person that is generous in your attitude. So cast off, throw them away, and put on the works of righteousness. Now, here I'm going to put it into two parts. The armor of light in our behavior, and then in words of advice, how we can be helped spiritually. The works of righteousness. Now, what are these? In verse 13, if I could go about these verses a little. Let us walk honestly as in the day. So that we are honest. We are open. I like very much, you know, the way that the Apostle John puts it. He says, walk in the lights. I says, walk in the lights. No dark areas. If you can look at these windows here, they're nice and clean. But supposing now that you really would like to have a good do at them and get them clean. Why? In order to get light in. Now, the window of grace has shone into our lives. Think of a stained glass window. They're particularly beautiful, aren't they? And so that when the sun shines through a stained glass window, it's lovely. But if the stained glass window has been allowed to get dirty and we allow some of the old ways in, it's all right, but it hasn't got the beauty it should. So we should cast off the dirt. Keep them clean. Keep the window of your life clean. Why? In order that the rays of God's grace might shine brightly to the colours of your life. Do you see the picture? It's very lovely. He can do it in us. But we cooperate. We keep the window of our life clean in order that the lovely light of God's grace might shine in us, and so that we might walk in the light, that the rays of God might shine in us. It is a life of joy, and it is full of glory. Peter puts it in a beautiful way as well, in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, have you ever stayed on that verse now? Because they do belong to each other, you know, these verses. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So you might say, well, I am not equipped to live a life of grace. Yes, says God, through my divine power, I've given you everything that you require to live a godly life. I've given you that. Now then, you know me. And because that is true, so in the cupboard of grace, there is everything you need. You know, sometimes when you go on a holiday and you're staying in a caravan and you wonder if they've got everything. It's a very well-equipped one. You open one cupboard and another and you say, well, this is lovely. There's everything we need here to have a lovely holiday. And what he is saying is, I've got everything you need for your life. I need everything you need to walk an honest life. I've got everything you need to have a kind disposition. I've got everything you need to have a gracious tongue. I've got everything you need to have a clean mind. I've got everything you need to be generous to the weak. I'll give everything you need for every situation. I've got everything you need for sorrows and disappointments. I've got everything you need for everything that comes your way. Just open the cupboard of grace and there it is for you. Now, how sure can I be? Well, according as his divine power, I will help you to use it as well as that. Not only is it there, but I will give you grace to do it. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things, not some, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. All things. Plenty of hymns. Here's one we're all familiar with, and it means a great deal to people. And written to by a lady that's written very many other lovely ones too. He giveth more grace. Will he? Yes. When? When the burdens were greater. You've got a burden, he'll give you grace. You've got a temptation, he'll give you grace. You've got a weakness, he'll give you grace. You've got a fear, he'll give you grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiply trials, multiply peace. See, everything for life and godliness. And we try ourselves sometimes when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, and the day is half done. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Sometimes he lets us get to the end of ourselves and say, I can't take any more. And then he says, his love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. The cupboard is bursting full of grace and mercy and love and power, and it's made in the factory of heaven, divine grace. And in the taking of each one for each occasion, the power to use it is given as well. Somebody like this: I am very fearful, Lord. Open this cupboard of grace and take the antidote for fear. It's in my hand, Lord, but I'm still fearing. Now I'll give you the power to use it. Not only will I give it to you, but I will give you the enabling grace to use it. And so it's no wonder we have to say at the end, you see, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. That is, you know, putting on the armor of light. That's using the things that God has for his children. But you will never understand that unless you have understood justification by faith, and that you lean entirely and absolutely and completely upon I am saved by grace alone. Not by my works, but by grace alone. If you've understood that, you'll know how to draw on his grace for living in this life that you're in. So are you in difficulties this morning? Draw upon him. Draw upon him. And doing in that, you know, something happens to you. You become transparent. You do, you know. You become a lovely person, a kind person, a generous person, a cooperating person. You become all that. You become transparent. You want to give your all for God. Just look at these apostles. When I think of the writer to this one, Paul, I mean, did he hold anything back? Did he ever say no? Did he ever say it wasn't convenient? Never. Total cooperation, a lovely transparency. He lived for God, just lived for God. Then the armor of light still, the word of advice. We have somebody who's against us. He's very clever and he's very cunning. And he knows exactly where to get me. And he knows exactly where to get you. And he knows exactly how to make you lose your cool. He knows exactly how to do it. He has many names. We call him the devil. We call him Satan. We call him Beelzebub. Jesus Christ called him the father of lies. He was once an archangel, Lucifer. He was the brightest of them all. He had the highest of positions in the archangels. Far from the height of God, but the next one, so high, and yet he fell. And because he fell so far, he wanted to do as much damage as he could to the work of God. And to the work that God has amongst his people, his lovely chosen people, he wants to spoil us. He wants to make us difficult people like we were before. He wanted to disappoint God. He wanted to grieve the spirits. He wanted to deceive ourselves. He wants us maybe to hurt godly parents or godly children, whichever way it may go. He wants to do that. So what shall I do? What shall I do? All right, I'm justified by faith. I will walk in the light. I'll open the cupboard of grace. I use all these things. But when Satan comes, what shall I do? The wiles of Satan. What shall I do? Well, we are told in Ephesians, and we are told here in Romans, it calls it the armor of light. But in Ephesians, there are details. And the details are given, they're given to help us. I don't think we have to take each one and major on each one. We bring them all together, but we identify each one to make a whole. They're all part of the same thing. You put on the armor. When you're going to battle, and the Christian life is a battle, when you're going to battle, you go well equipped. For example, in today's battle, if I joined the army and I decided I would go with my Sunday suit and a nice tie and my best shoes and be tidy, here I am, I'm nice and smart, and I've had a good wash, and I'm going to battle. I am ill-equipped. I'm ill-equipped. Or if I was going to battle in the Middle Ages, where it was swords and knives and spears, and I just go there in a light gown, I'm ill-equipped. There I would wear armour. Today I'd wear a particular kind of uniform and take particular things with me. I must be equipped. Now then, not only must we be men and women by grace, we must also be equipped. Now, what is equipment? It says here, be strong. Are you strong? Be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you meet Satan without fear, with respect. Don't think that you can play about with him. But you meet him in the Lord and the power of God's might. Now, what does he say? Let's go just quickly through the things. You are girded with the loins of truth. Now, in any kind of dress for men and women, we have something around our middle, a skirt, a trousers, whatever, however we may describe. Around that is your main article of clothing. In decency, isn't it? That's our main article of clothing. Now, our main article of clothing in the Christian faith is justification by faith. So you can say to Satan, I'm a forgiven sinner. It is worn as my main garment. It is my main garment. I know I am justified. I know I am forgiven. I know I am going to glory. Never lack in appreciation for your main garment. Then you need a breastplate. Now, because here is so vulnerable. Here are my lungs and here is my heart. So I'm very vulnerable. If heart can mean affections here and my feelings, whatever it is. So I need the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does this mean? Well, it's not the loins. It's not the justification by faith. That's righteousness, yes. That's imputed righteousness. But this one is imparted righteousness. So that the one I'm wearing has affected my heart, my feelings, my all. So not only am I in the righteousness of Christ, I'm also exercising that righteousness. And that also is a barrier against the fiery darts of Satan. And on my feet, the gospel of peace. Now, why that? Now, we walk to many places. Now, when we walk, we see somebody and we talk. What kind of impression do we leave after we've gone? Do we leave the savour of Christ or a bad taste? A little word of sly criticism, an unkind word, or a feeling of kindness and loveliness? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And then the shield of faith. Now, why do you want that? Well, Satan has what we call fiery darts. Now, that's based on the old kind of arrow they had. On the tip of the sharp arrow, they'd have tar of some sort, and they would light it. And so when these were shot, it would come as not only as a sharp thing, but also as fire to do as much hurt and damage to you. So what do you have here? You have a shield. And they used to have shields made of skins and so on, but they were drenched and wet in order to face these fiery darts of Satan. Now then, what's faith? There's justification by faith, which is my relationship with Jesus Christ. But also, you exercise that faith in your life. So if Satan brings a doubt, you hold your shield up, your shield of faith. And so when it hits your shield, it's rebuffed by, I have faith in Christ to keep me. I have faith in Christ to guide me. I have faith in Christ in all these things. So whatever, and they'll come from the direction, well, that sometimes you don't expect. He knows our weaknesses. Now, I remember Lloyd-Jones giving this advice that I mentioned to you before. There's a lovely Welsh hymn. Hold me, my God, dal fi fyny, especially hold me where I am weak. All right, we'll use a shield of faith. I am weak there. It may be that I have unclean thoughts, so I put a shield of faith there to keep the fiery darts from bringing all those bad thoughts back again. But then I'm strong in another way. And I feel a little boastful, and I don't need anybody's help. And he said, you watch, he said, your strong points. Because there, Satan can take you off your guard. You will watch your weak points because you know you're weak there. And you'll use the shield of faith. But where you think you're strong, watch it there. Pride can come in. And arrogance, and I won't have it. So use the shield of faith there. Wherever a dart is coming from, use a shield of faith. And on your poor little head, your mind, this wandering mind of ours, prone to leave the God I love, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. We could wander in a sermon. We could wander anyway. Prone to leave the God I love. The helmet of salvation. Now, what's this? Well, it's a way of describing watching your head, watching your mind, guarding your thoughts. In one of John Calvin's prayers, he says, God, watch my eyes, what I look at as a passage to my thinking. Guard my ears as a passage to my thinking. Isn't there a lot there where our eyes will roll and what we will listen to? So guard my mind. Put on the helmet of salvation so that you are covered completely in the salvation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, is there any more in this armour? Well, yes. All those are defensive. You need something to fight back. Jesus did it in the wilderness. What did he use against Satan when he was tempted? Each time he used a verse. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Satan can't stand that. So, if you feel burdens and things are weighing you down, you say to him like this, I cast my burden on the Lord, for he careth for me. And he flies away. That's using the sword. Know your Bible. Know your verses. And if there are verses that have been particularly helpful to you, memorize them. So that when a vicious attack is coming, use that sword. Use that verse. And he will flee from you. Now then, do you see the picture? Do you see it? They're evil days. Knowing their times, their hard days. Don't go back to your old ways. Cast off the ways of darkness. Don't go into the company that's like that. Cast off that. And now then, walk in the light. Use the armour in that way. Walk in the light. And then also, be wise. be a soldier and put on your armor. It's no use knowing about your armor and you're wearing a light dressing gown. No use. Put on the whole armor of God, and after having done all, to stand. We used to ask about some people, you know, he came to the Lord, didn't he? Hadn't heard him for 30 years. Is he still standing? That used to be a phrase, you know. And what he meant was, did he keep to it? Did he carry on with the Lord? Is he still standing? Well, yes, we can do, you know. We can. He is able to keep us, to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. He will not let you down. Now then, one last thing. Knowing the times. You and I were not born for yesterday. We are not born for tomorrow. We are born for today. He's chosen us to live in such a time as this. Queen Esther lived in an alien court, married to a pagan king. She had no choice in it. The people of God were in captivity. It could not have been worse. Mordecai said to her, "It is possible that you have been born for such a time as this." And she was able to bring mercy to her people, to the king, through her pleading. We are born for such a time as this. And by the grace of God, we too may be able to bring showers of mercy to many people in such a time as this. Stand in the Lord and in the power of his might. And now, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly and as in the day. Let us do just that. Now let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we are able to come to thee in our Saviour's name and ask thy blessing upon us. Help us to be men and women of grace. Help us, O Lord, in such a time as this, knowing the times, knowing full well the times, knowing the score, knowing exactly what it is like, yet standing from him and standing in the power of God. Help us, O Lord, all the days of our lives to do so, for thy name's sake. Amen.